Good morning, everybody. It's great to be back. I trust you have survived the beginning of the long weekend. It's just the beginning. It is exciting again, the baptism. I think it's about the eighth week in a row that we're baptizing. It is just so exciting to see what the Lord is doing. Mindful of Jesus' words that says, the harvest is truly plentiful. So let's support those who are being baptized today. Just before we continue, we have communion at the end of the service. Is there anybody who have not yet received a cup? If you haven't received one, please raise your hand and the ushers will quickly come and give you a cup for our communion. If you are new here as well, on that note, you will see that on the top of the cup there is a piece of bread, and then there is the wine. It's not real wine, it's juice. But please note there are two layers. It's like an onion. Nah, I advise you to remove or to loosen them now already. It takes a while if you're doing this for the first time. So, you know, if you like fiddling with stuff, please fiddle with this. Not too much, otherwise you might have communion early. We are continuing on living for Christ and growing in love and what it means. And we've been looking at this for a number of weeks now, even months, our text, really, on which we have grounded this journey with the Lord is in 2 Peter. 2 Peter chapter 1 from verse 5, and just as a reminder, let's read those things that Peter and the Lord encourages us with. But also for this very reason, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge self-control, and to self-control perseverance, and to perseverance godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness love. For if these things are yours and abound, you will neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. And so we've been looking at this growing up in Christ and what it means to grow, what we need to add to our faith. And we've went through that process and we ended up with love. And we kind of paused there for a number of weeks now, just looking at this love in Greek agape. The one Greek word, brotherly love, brotherly kindness, we need to grow from there with another kind of love, which is agape. And so we've been looking at this particular kind of love. And as we've been looking at some of the scriptures using that word and the various aspects of that love, it is such a powerful concept, this agape love, this word that describes who God is. We read in 1 John that the word of God says that God is love, using that same word. And I want us just to read that in 1 John 4. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God. And everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. He who does not love does not know God, for God is love. In this, the love of God was manifested towards us, that God sent his only begotten Son into the world that we may live through him. In this is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son as an atoning sacrifice, a preparation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. Not only does agape describe who God is, but those who are born of God can love in the same way. We can love like him. And so we are commanded to love in the same way. It's interesting, in John 13, Jesus said, a new commandment I give unto you, that you must love one another as I have loved you, that you also love one another. By this, all will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another. The same word again. What is significant over the past couple of weeks, as we looked at all the different kinds of love described in Greek, What makes this word so powerful is, unlike the other types of love, agape is not based on our emotions or our common interests. But agape is actually a decision, an act of the will to love, which makes it powerful and different. So when God commands us to love, He is not appealing to our emotions. He's appealing to our will to choose to love. So today I want us to look at another aspect of God's love, what it says about God and how we are meant to live for Him. Of all the scriptures about agape, this is probably one of the most challenging. So Matthew chapter 5, on the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus said the following. He said, "You have heard that it is said, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I say to you, love your enemies." It's a very challenging thing Jesus says. And He's not calling on our emotions. Again, the root word used for love is agape. Jesus says we should not only love our neighbor, but we must love our enemies. What does this kind of love say about God and who God calls us to be? In Matthew 5, I want us to read what Jesus said after these words. And I want us to read again here from the beginning. "You have heard that it was said, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I say to you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you, so that you may be the sons of your Father who is in heaven. For He makes the sun rise on evil and on the good. He sends rain on the just and on the unjust. For if you love those who love you, what reward do you have? Do not even the tax collectors do the same? And if you greet only your brothers, what more are you doing than the others? Do not even the Gentiles do the same? Therefore, you must be perfect as your heavenly Father is perfect." What does this kind of love say about God and who God calls us to be? When Jesus says you must be perfect, the Greek word is telios, and I've preached on that before. It means to be complete, to be mature. It is the image of the potter forming a pot from the clay until it is telios, complete, finished, perfect. And so God is calling us to grow in Him, to become mature and complete in the way we love. The way we love one another, but also in the way we love our enemies. You see, growing up spiritually is a process. Maturity is the goal. Maturity is being like Christ. It is our goal we aim for, and through the power of the Holy Spirit are being transformed from glory to glory into that image. It's the journey that we have called to. And part of this journey is to love the way He loves. To love your friends only is custom to this world. But to love your enemies is custom only to Christians. And that's the way God loved us. Therefore, those who are called by God, who are born again, are filled with His Spirit, and we are able to love like this. The world does not know this kind of love. It cannot love like this. But through God's Spirit, you and me can love like that. Also, in doing so, we become imitators of God and known as the children of God through the way we love. You know, Romans 5 says the following about God's love for us. It says, "For when we were still without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely a righteous man, one will die, perhaps for a good man, someone would even dare to die. But God demonstrated his own love towards us, that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, having been justified by his blood, shall we be saved from wrath through him. For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death of his son, much more, having been reconciled, shall we be saved by his life. And so we see that this is the way God loved us. God loved us while we were still enemies. This is completely contrary to the world, to love your enemy. But this is how God loved us. This is the Christians in Ukraine. Because of the wrong suffered and the atrocities committed, that nation is filled by hatred towards the Russians. But not the Christians. We as Christians are called to be different, as light in the darkness. Not only in Ukraine, but also here in South Africa. In Luke chapter 6, Jesus says the following, "But I say to you who hear, love your enemies, do good to those who hate you, bless those who curse you, pray for those who spitefully use you. To him who strikes you on the one cheek, offer the other also. And to him who takes away your cloak, do not withhold your tunic either. Give to everyone who asks of you, and from him who takes away your goods, do not ask them back. And just as you want men to do to you, you also do to them likewise." When God calls us to love our enemies, he is not appealing to our emotions. He is appealing to our will. As imitators of Christ, we are called to choose to love our enemies just like Christ did. Christ prayed for those slandering him while suffering on the cross. His clothes were stripped away from him, and he was beaten for doing no wrong, yet he did not retaliate. Jesus does not ask anything of us he did not model himself. If we have to face persecution for doing what is right and following God, Jesus encourages us with his example, but also with his reward. It continues in verse 32, "But if you love those who love you, what credit is that to you? For even sinners love those who love them. And if you do good to those who do good to you, what credit is that to you? For even sinners do the same. And if you lend to those whom you hope to receive back, what credit is that to you? For even sinners lend to sinners, receiving the same back. But love your enemies, do good, and lend, hoping for nothing in return, and your reward will be great, and you will be sons of the Most High. For he is kind to the unthankful and evil. Therefore be merciful, just as your Father is merciful." In Proverbs 25, we read the following, "If your enemy is hungry, give him a bread to eat. If he is thirsty, give him a water to drink. For so you will heap coals of fire on his head, and the Lord will reward you." We do not love our enemies to put them to shame. We love our enemies because God will reward us for doing so. We love our enemies because we are obedient to him, and we are obedient to him because we love him. And he will reward us for it. What a great motivation to be obedient. Always from a place of love, but knowing that even for what we suffer, for doing what is right, he will reward us for it. Jesus' own example is our encouragement for his obedience to the will of God, his love for the Father, but also the reward set before him helped him overcome the temptation of vengeance and discouragement. We read in Hebrews 12 from verse 2, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, for the joy that was set before him, endured the cross, despising the shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him who endured such hostility from sinners, lest you become weary and discouraged in your souls. You see, part of the cost of following Christ is persecution. For being a Christian and for doing what is right, for righteousness' sake. Jesus, in that same Sermon on the Mount, said the following, Matthew 5, verse 10, blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when they revile and persecute you and say all kinds of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceedingly glad, for great is your reward in heaven, for they so also persecuted the prophets who were before you. You see, this is part of the peace that Pastor Vanner shared so powerfully about last Sunday. Putting God first in your circumstances and your suffering, there you will find your peace when you put Him first in the midst of it all. Not only do we find peace, but we are able to bear our circumstances, but also we will choose to love through it. In the midst of it. While we are bearing it. Not only do we find peace, but we will love through it. To love our enemies is an expression of this agape love that flows directly from the love of God. This does not mean we do not resist injustice, but rather our attitude towards those who cause the injustice. We overcome the desire for vengeance with mercy. As we see Stephen, the first martyr, who was stoned for sharing the gospel. His final words was, Lord, do not hold this sin against them. Not calling for vengeance, but mercy. The opposite of choosing mercy, choosing to love, will be unforgiveness, bitterness, and hatred. And that will destroy us. So let us consider our enemies. As we hear God's word, let us ask Him to grant us the grace through His Spirit in us to love our enemies. And I want you for a moment just to close your eyes where you are seated. And I want you to consider your enemies, those who hate you. Those who despise you. Those who wrongfully accuse you and use you and persecute you. I want you for a moment to see them. God is not appealing to our emotions. He's calling to our will. Not to retaliate in vengeance, but to be merciful, to do good, to bless them, and to pray for them. I want to give you an opportunity this morning as you are seated, just to speak to the Lord about those people in your life. Just speak to Him where you are. Just in your own words. Father, I pray that as we come to you this morning with our enemies, We do so knowing how much you love us and of what you have forgiven us. How you have set us free from our wrong. Lord, I pray that you will grant us to obey and love the way you do. Jesus, the way you obeyed your Father and gave your life to set us free. Lord, I pray that we too will forgive those who sin against us. And our enemies, God, I pray that today we will choose to love them, to pray for them, to bless them, to ask for mercy and not for vengeance. That we too, like Stephen, may say, Lord, do not hold the sin against them. God, grant us not to be overcome by unforgiveness and a desire for vengeance, but rather to be overcome by your love. We ask you this in Jesus' name. You know, in this life I have learned that coming in the opposite spirit of those who come against us may not only lead them to repentance. There is no guarantee if you love your enemies, they will accept Christ. It is possible, however. That's not the most powerful thing of coming in the opposite spirit. The most powerful thing of in loving your enemies when they hate you is not what it does to them as much as it does to those who look upon us as Christians. When they see how Christians love when they are hated and persecuted, many people turn to Christ. When they come to ask you why you are so different, and you can explain to them the reason for the hope that we have, this great salvation. So I want to encourage you this morning. When you face your enemy, love him. Pray for him. Bless him. Do good to him. And you will be light in the midst of darkness. This world only knows one way to deal with the enemies. And when they see our light, they will ask you, this is the way. This is the way Jesus taught us to live our life. Father, this morning as we come to you and we take this cup and we take this bread, Lord, we are reminded of your love towards us. As we hold this bread in our hands, Lord, we're reminded of the fact that we also once were enemies. And you had mercy on us. When we deserved only your wrath, you had mercy on us. And you gave your only son to pay the price we could not pay. Thank you for your love. May we never forget the cost as we eat together. Lord, we thank you for this cup and what it represents, your blood that was shed to us, that gave us life. We have found mercy and grace in your sight, and forgiveness, redemption, belonging, and an inheritance. Our Lord, I pray that you will grant us by your Spirit more and more each day to become more like you. As we drink this cup, Lord, we ask, Come and do your work in and through us. In Jesus' name. Let's drink together. If you are here this morning and you have enemies, maybe the Lord is speaking to you. I would love to pray with you. Maybe you are struggling to forgive and to call for mercy because you need it yourself. I would love to pray with you. I'm going to dismiss the meeting and I'm going to ask those who need some prayer. Facilitators can help me, and you can just come to the Lord with your own heart and just bring it before Him and say, Lord, help me. Help me to love my enemies. Help me to ask for mercy and not vengeance. And as you do so, we trust that God will heal, deliver, and set you free. Thank you for the rest of you for coming. May God bless you. There's some coffee at the back and also outside. Please fellowship. Love your brothers and sisters. And maybe even your enemy is here. Take him a cup of coffee. Thank you for coming. If you need a prayer, we're going to be here in front.